I'm so glad to have my wife, Katie. She's been intentionally, relationally discipling people longer than I have. And so she always gives me some wisdom that I forget to think about. And so one thing she reminded me of was churches have done this kind of thing for a long time. But right now, with new language, we're getting to a really great point and a really great tool and way to make disciples. Like Steve Kloher said this morning, you know, 80 years ago, for the most part, the country agreed with the church. And so you could come to church and you weren't necessarily challenged in a lot of ways. Most people came to church, and so that was enough. So big churches, you just go to church, and we're making disciples. And maybe. We probably weren't, but maybe we were. Okay, but then we have, see, I have a microphone and now, okay. So we have this really big thing of the church, and then it gets smaller into Bible classes. But even in a Bible class, in a big church, in the Bible Belt, a Bible class could still be 100 people. It could be 25, which was as big as my church in Wisconsin, to 50, to 100. And so, I mean, that's still a pretty big group. So you have Bible classes, and you're able to maybe study more, maybe get to know each other more. Then, recently, a lot of churches have gone to life groups or small groups or core groups, whatever name you have. It's the same thing. And we've started these small groups that can even more effectively minister to each other, take care of each other's needs, really get to know families, live with one another. It gives us that community that we lose maybe in Bible class, and we usually really lose in a church, in a big church. So it keeps getting smaller and more effective. And life groups, small groups, core groups are incredible. And Katie and I were immediately plugged into what was then called a small group at North Boulevard the first time we visited. The first time we visited, a couple about our age invited us to their small group that night. And we've been part, it's changed over the years, but we've been part of the same small group and now lead that life group today. And so it's an incredible blessing. And we grow with one another in Christ. We share with one another. We eat with one another. We know about each other's families, challenges. We're able to pray together and be more intimate. Okay, but now, to really, really make a disciple, to be completely intentional, calls for a smaller group. And that's what we're going to talk about today, and we're going to look at a tool, a great tool, Discovery Bible Study. And so this smallest group can be called a discipleship group, a triad. We have a ministry right here that Mike Stroud started. It's called the Timothy Network. He was ahead of us, and he brought North Boulevard with him. And so now North Boulevard is doing this. So discipleship groups. Ideally, it's maybe only three people. And ideally, it's three men or it's three women. And it could be one-on-one. That is relational discipling. So there might be a special case where you really need to focus one person, one-on-one. Three is great. Four is doable and still wonderful. As it gets bigger than that, it becomes more like a small group. And it's difficult to be as intentional as we're going to talk about today. And so one important thing is that, you know, all men or all women that you're studying with, because women can share with each other things that men are not going to understand because we're not capable of understanding. And then men are going to be able to share things that we only want to share with men, because, well, I'm a man, so I know. So we only want to share things with other men who completely understand, and women want to share things with women who completely understand. So we want to get in these small groups. That's the smallest part. So we have a big church. Everyone should go to church. Everyone should be in a Bible class and have some kind of big purpose together. Everyone should be in a small group, a life group, a core group, and have that really close community taking care of one another. And then everyone needs to be in a discipleship group. So this smallest group of three or four, 2 to 4 people. And it's there that you can hold each other accountable. Steve Kloer said this morning that the lead killer of teens is suicide. They were not in this smallest group. They may have been in other groups, but where you can get lost. But nobody caught it before it was too late. So if they were in a small group and someone was able to catch it, someone was discipling them, someone was loving them, someone knew that this was a struggle, someone knew that they were going through some challenge, someone knew that they were depressed, someone knew that they were having problems at school. So we have to get this. This is where we're going to make disciples. This is where we're going to save lost souls. And this tool is great for us to start together here today. It's a great tool, and take your first step and do it with your family. It's a great tool to do with your spouse, great tool to do with your children. Then it's a great tool to do with your friends and your brothers and sisters at church and practice together. And then this DBS is a great tool, and then for maybe the purest of forms of doing it with someone who has not gone to church, someone who is lost. And we're all broken, but hopefully if we're attending church, we're brothers and sisters, we're loving on each other, I think, you know, we have this common thing of Jesus Christ, but the purest form is to go find someone else. And he would hate me mentioning it, but I am being recorded, so he's going to hear it. Paul Skidmore is one of the greatest examples of relational discipling that I know of so far. And it's not to his credit, it is to God's credit. It's by his power and what God has done in Paul's life. But God has moved Paul to really do this and to seek and save the lost. And so he's done it with brothers and sisters in Christ, but he's really been intentional in going out. And when it says, go unto the nations, go make disciples of the nations, it doesn't mean you have to go across any body of water. You don't have to go across the sea. You can go to Starbucks, which is outside of your church building, or you can go to the boulevard, and you can start relationships. And that's what Paul Skidmore has done. He's gone into these places. He's spent years in each place. He loves the people. He gets to know everyone that works there. They get to know him. And then he invites them to study. And a lot of them say yes. And recently, he just baptized 2 waitresses who would have otherwise never found the church, like Steve said this morning. They would have never found the church. They wouldn't have come in by themselves. So Paul went and found them. So this is a really easy tool. And so it's really scary when we think about that. Like, oh, he just told me I need to go to Starbucks and start converting Starbucks. Not necessarily. And it's really, really scary. We don't feel equipped. I work with David Young, who knows the Bible better than anyone I've probably talked to. And so I'm like, okay, David Young is equipped to go save lost souls. I'm not equipped like David Young. But that's not true. And you don't have to be equipped in that sense. You just have to go and obey that command. Go make disciples. And there's really easy ways to do it. God's going to do it anyway. We just have to plant the seed. And God's word is going to move people. God's going to do it. So we just have to go. God's going to do it. Okay, so in your book that you have from the weekend, for one thing, you have these 4 bookmarks. They're not permanently stuck in there, so you can take them out one by one. It's that cool sticky glue stuff. So you can take those out and you can use those. These are DBS studies, so Discovery Bible Studies. And they each, these 4 that you have, One goes through the Sermon on the Mount. There's a part one and two. And one goes through maybe more of an intro study, but discovering discipleship and just what it means to be a disciple of Christ. So you have those four bookmarks. If you lost this, you could probably go get another one. Or I have extra bookmarks up here. I have all four of these, and I have stacks. And so if you need one as we go through some of the questions today, you can grab one of these up here. I'll hand them around. We also have, we don't have them printed out for everybody, but just so you know, North Boulevard has put together a whole bunch of these and a whole bunch of really short sets of scriptures. Sorry. These are sets of scriptures for Discovery Bible Study. And so there's 54 of them. So there's 54 lists of scriptures, and they're topic specific. So if you are with a group of men, there is one just about men, and probably some scriptures we need to talk about and hold each other accountable. There's one for marriage. We have parenting, women, recovery, youth, singles, special needs. That's just the front page. So we do have these, and we can make them available. So if you want this huge list, I have a couple copies, or you can send any of us an email, and we'll get you a PDF or a Word document, whatever you want, and we'll email this to you. And so you have a huge list of scriptures to go. And I said they're short. They're only six scriptures, so that's only 6 weeks. So it's something that people might not have a hard time committing to. If you're going to say, hey, we're going to have to study together for a year, just say, hey, I have this, we're going to do the 6 week study, and then we can move on from there. But so we have a whole bunch of scriptures, and I have three copies here if you want to take one today. Otherwise, you can send me an email and I'll get it to you. Okay. So in the context of a discipleship group, the small group of 2 to 4 people, at North Boulevard, this DBS is the best tool that we've found so far. And so we've kind of developed our own version. It's been successful. It's been a blessing, an extreme blessing. So God is using it. And so we want everyone else to take it to your churches, take it to your communities, your workplaces, and see if God will bless you with the same tool. Paul will be able to cut this out. Okay, anyway, so within the context of a discipleship group, you use this DBS study, and you're just very intentional with each other. So if you are looking at your book, a couple pages before the actual bookmarks, there's a two-page spread on Discovery Bible Study. It's really, really helpful. So if you can't remember something I said or why do we do this question, there's a pretty good description right here. And Paul Skidmore and his team have done an awesome job making this booklet for this conference. So thank you, guys. When you get together, you have to be intentional. So the leaders need to be intentional. Wait for people to talk. Because otherwise, or, you know, you may, no one will talk for 20 seconds, which is an uncomfortable time of silence. And so you as the leader might just move on. Don't. So just wait. Give people time to respond. Give everyone time to respond. Oh, and that's another important thing. If we do this in a small group or a Bible class, is everyone going to get to respond? Some people are just going to remain silent, which happens in Bible class. So with DBS, we want everyone to respond to every question. And the leader can be intentional. The leader can start. So you might ask the first question, and they'll say, all right, so here's my answer as a leader. And now what's yours? Then the next question you could say, David, why don't you start? And so it's really intentional. You want people to grow. We want everyone to grow in Jesus Christ. We want everyone to grow closer in their relationship to God, fill each other, help each other recognize that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and grow together. So So we have to push each other a little bit, but it is an easy thing. And you don't have to force somebody to talk. They don't have to talk. But it'd be great if they all did. Which is why a small group is good. So if you want to look at this, this kind of outlines the bookmarks. And then all these questions are on one side of the bookmark. This is really great. You could just take one bookmark and you have this tool. You can take a picture of it on your phone and then send it to the two men or two women you're studying with, and you're good to go. Because it has all the questions, it has all the scriptures for that series. So it's just one simple tool, and you put it in your Bible or just carry it with your phone, because your Bible's probably in your phone. But it's just a wonderful tool. So let's start looking at this. And I'm going to talk about each question a little bit. After that, we'll actually get into some small groups, and I'll lead you through an actual session. So looking at the book, it leads us through the questions as well. The first question, when you get together, it is important to praise God. We're made to praise Him. I think it was Steve this morning that said, it's not bad to make requests. It's not bad to ask God. We're supposed to do those things too. But a lot of times we forget to praise Him in our prayer. So we want to praise God. We want to remember what we're thankful for. We want to remember what He has provided. So that's the first question of Discovery Bible Study, which is really great. And you start on a positive note. And so you start with a question, what happened last week for which you are thankful? And it's such a simple question. It can be tiny. It could be big. So you could thank God for a Christian spouse. You could be very thankful for your children. You could be thankful that you have a job. You know what we can be thankful for. We have so much. We are so blessed. So that's the first question. And you want to encourage everyone. This is an easy one. Everyone should answer this, even the first time. The first time you study, everyone should answer, just what are you grateful for? What's something good in your life? What do you praise God for? So start with that question. That's a big one. And then the next question gets the flip side. All right, so the next question is, what struggles are happening in your life, family, or community? What challenges? On a lot of the bookmarks, it actually says what challenges are you facing? And so this can be big or small, too. And when we're talking about challenges, this is why it's really nice to be in a group of women or why it's nice to be in a group of men. Because we have different challenges, and we're embarrassed to share those challenges between men and women. It's just a little bit easier. And so it could be, again, it could be general. So someone might be really worried about our country. Someone might be they're really genuinely concerned about our country, and they're terrified. So that could be a challenge. Another challenge could be they're stressed at work. A challenge could be they're having a hard time with their children. They're having a hard time with their parents. Their parents are sick. And then challenges could be very, very personal. And we want to get to that level. Because that's when we prevent the teenagers from committing suicide. That's how we have to get to that level. So, you know, you could do this study and not be intentional enough and not catch someone and help them. So we want to be intentional. We don't want to push them, but we want to be so intentional and transparent ourselves. The first group I was ever in, it was not called a discipleship group yet. It was kind of off of the Timothy Network. It was with two teachers at school, two men, and we met during lunch. I was a teacher for 8 years, but for one, maybe 2 years, we met during lunch, and it was only 30 minutes, but we were really intentional. And the man who called that group together, Rick Chambliss, he's one of my spiritual heroes and mentors. So I have my parents, I have Rick Chambliss, I have Anthony Yannis here, I have John Magnuson, I have David Young now. So I have all these people, but Rick Chambliss was the first really intentional disciple maker that I studied with. And he was transparent first. He talked about struggling with food. He talked about being addicted to television. He talked about pure eyes and what a challenge it is for men. He started that. And that was the first time any man had spoken quite like that to me and was really, really honest. And then that freed me up to do the same with him and then with this other young man. So praising God is an important question. Sharing your challenges is maybe even more important. And it is what the Bible talks about confessing. I know there are people who are moved and need to come forward in church, and they have something deep and heavy on their heart, and so they come forward and tell the church about it. But that's not the ultimate form of confession. That might be a big public way to do it and maybe needed at sometimes. But we're really just called confess to one another, right? Confess to one another, confess to two reliable men, righteous men who can hold you accountable, pray for you, help you. Same with women. You know, confess to one another and you will be healed. Confess to one another and you will be healed. We don't practice that enough. And so this tool helps that if we're intentional and transparent and honest. All right, the third question is difficult to do the very first time, so we'll kind of skip over it today, but it is so, so important. The third question is, what did you do about last week? So you want to meet every week with these discipleship groups, and last week you talked about something, and you said, okay, my life is going to look different if I do this, or I will do this in response to the scripture we're studying. And so the third question of Discovery Bible Study is, so what'd you do? It's accountability. What did you do? And if you don't ask it, then it really doesn't matter what you studied about last week. And I'm guilty of that sometimes. I have one discipleship group, and I'm best friends with all three of them. So sometimes we'll just hang out, and we'll forget that question. So, hey, what did we study last week? What did you do? Did you do something different? And it's a huge failure if we miss question three. So that's, what did you learn last time? How did it go with what you said you were going to try? Did you do it? So that's the third question, which is so very, very important. I'm going to look at one of these bookmarks now. And then it's not in here, but we want to pray together. And so one reason it's not here is the Spirit moves us to pray at different times. And so it may be after you share some challenges that you as the leader stops and say, okay, let's pray about these things. We need to lift these up to God. Let's lift Brother Bob up to God. So you may pray there. Or you could pray after you shared praises. There may be something awesome that just happened to someone last week, and you stop and praise God for it. Pray continually, right? Pray without ceasing. So when it's time to pray, we should do it. Pray right then and there. So prayer is really important. You want to pray together and have everybody pray. You really get to know someone when you pray. Our best small group, life group, core group meetings have been when we've taken 30 minutes and just everyone say a short prayer, lift up what's on their heart, or we've done prayers where everyone just kind of says a sentence, and you feed off of each other, you praise God together, you move to places. But when you hear someone else pray, you really, really get to know them. You get to know their relationship with God, maybe where they are in their maturity in Christ. So don't forget to pray together. So you may want to write that in somewhere because it's not a question on the bookmark. It may be, does it say to pray within the booklet? I don't know if it does. So you may want to write that in. So you want to pray. And you just pick the right spot. Okay. After holding each other accountable for what you did last week, then you want to move into reading scripture. And so we'll do that today. So you want to read it. Read it well once. Have someone else, and sometimes it's nice to hear another translation, have someone else read it again. And so it is kind of nice to have a short scripture. And all these bookmarks, when you look at these, they're pretty short. All the passages, they're really short. If it's a really long section of scripture, it's going to be hard to get something out of it. It's going to be hard to be specific. It's going to be hard to talk. Everyone knows that reading your Bible is a blessing and incredible. So right now, I was on the one-year plan of reading the chronological Bible, but now I'm on the two-year plan of reading the chronological Bible. And it's wonderful to read and see the story in order and remind myself of all the stories and things that happened, things that really did happen in history, and read it as a book, read it as a story. It's great to read it through. But when I'm just reading it through, I'm not meditating on it as much. It's good to read it, but I'm not meditating. I'm not perhaps letting one scripture speak to me, although that still happens. God's word is alive. God's word is going to do the work. Anyway, short scriptures. Someone reads it. Someone rereads it. And then have someone summarize it. So have someone retell it. And this just gets the story in your head. You hear it a couple different ways. Someone puts it into their own words. And then everyone else who did not retell it, you could fill in any gaps, because we don't want to miss anything. So you read the passage. You go through that process. Then you get into questions about those scriptures. Questions about the scriptures. So the first question is, what do we learn about God? The first question is, what does the scripture tell us about his character, who he is, what he's done, what he wants for us, what he doesn't want for us? So look at these scriptures and you answer, what do I learn about God in these scriptures? And you let everyone talk, get everyone to pitch in, because there's usually not a wrong answer when you're reading a scripture. And what does it tell you about God? Well, God wants the best for us. Yeah, that's not a bad answer. So let everyone talk on all of these. Then the second question as you're studying the scripture is, what do we learn about people? So what does the scripture tell us about us, about humanity, something we've done, something we need to do? It could, and they can overlap. So, you know, something God wants for us to do, what humanity should have done. But what does it tell us about people? So that's a great question. Then the third question is where you're going to put this into practice. And there are a couple ways you can do it. But the third question is, how will you put this passage into practice? In other studies, you might see the question, how would my life look different if I had more faith in this scripture? But we've chosen, what will you do? All right? So what will you do to put this into practice? One good way is for everyone to think of their own thing. And it could be big, but we're talking about for the next week, what are you going to do? And so this I will statement could be really small. A couple of I will statements that I've made over the years. One would be, I will this week try to wake up first thing in the morning and submit to God's lordship, because it's something I don't do all the time. I usually brush my teeth before I think to submit to God's lordship. So what will you do? It can be something real small, attainable. for that question, so I will. It could also be really big. If we're struggling with challenges, if there's something convicting, which there usually is, if there's something convicting in God's word, then an I will statement could be something bigger. And it might be where we need to check in on each other and say, hey, are you doing this today? And that's intentional relational discipleship. Okay, I'm going to text you tomorrow morning and help you with this. I'm going to pray for you right now. So I will statements could be big. I will statements could be, I'm going to get rid of some DVDs, which is hard. You're saying, okay, I'm going to throw away some stuff. So I will statements. Another thing that I've done in groups, and it can be very, very good too, is to agree on an I will statement, and everyone does it together. So we could all agree to, we're all going to really try the first time, when we wake up, we're all going to submit to the Lordship of God. I submit to you, today is yours, I praise you. So you could agree on an I will statement, and then check up on each other. And remember, so the next week, that third question, accountability, what did you do it? You have to remember to do that the next week. You have to remember, you have to show others that this really is important, that you care, that we can't, it's not just something you come in and do and leave and don't think about again. This is life. We worship God. We submit to him all week. And so it matters. Okay, this 8. The eighth question, but the fourth one on the scriptures is, who do you know who needs to hear this? This specific message we've been talking about today. Who do you need to know, or who do you know that needs to hear it? Most of the time, you don't have to say names. I mean, you don't have to say names. But we always need to be thinking about, who am I going to reach next? Maybe it's someone I don't know. So I need to go find the lost. I need to get out. I need to go find them. Or maybe it's someone you know. It could be family members, cousins, spouses, brothers. It could be friends that you know are really struggling with what you just talked about. Or would be incredibly encouraged. So who do you know who needs to hear this? And you always want to be thinking about that. Challenge others to think about it. And there can be times where you talk about it. Within discipleship groups, you know, it's confidential, right? So a way to confess to each other and hold each other accountable is by everyone knowing that it's safe to do so. If you go and gossip about it, you've ruined it. That's not what we're supposed to do. And we don't confess to each other so other people, everyone else can know. Confess to one another so that you will be healed. Of course, there may be a time where someone is in danger and you might need to tell someone that really needs to know. You know, someone might be in danger. As a teacher for 8 years, I would have children come to me and they may have a problem and it's not a big deal. It's something we can talk about and well, it's a big deal to them, but it's not something that I need to report to somebody. So I can help them. We can talk about it, something they're struggling with. But then there are times where a student comes and shares something with you, and you have to go report it because someone's in danger. Something might happen if nothing else happens. And so we need to know those things. But otherwise, relational discipleship, your discipleship group, is confidential. And you don't share it. So there are things that I share or things that are shared with me from other men, and I don't tell Katie about it because Katie doesn't need to know what these men struggle with, which is really difficult because we tell each other pretty much everything. I mean, most bosses do, right? But I don't tell Katie what these men are struggling with. She doesn't need to know. I'm praying for them. We're telling each other. We're confessing to each other. And holding each other accountable. and improving and growing in God and allowing each other to do so. All right, the very, very last thing is how can we help with a challenge you're facing? So it's kind of a throwback to question number two, intercession, what challenges are you dealing with in your life or in your family or in the world? So you come back to that and ask the question, what could we do this week to help you with that? So it's so intentional. I'm still working on it. You know, so I'm teaching you how to teach this, right? So with all the stuff I'm telling you, you can go do this. It is a very simple thing. All you have to do is facilitate. You don't have to know the scripture. You don't have to know the Greek. You don't have to know the Hebrew. All you have to do is facilitate as a leader. And every once in a while, you don't want to hand it off to somebody else within your group, but you stay the leader and facilitate most of the time. But if you're studying within a year, you know, every other month, have the other guys facilitate it. Because you've heard this within the conference already. We need to multiply. This has to be reproducible. And it is, because it's simple. So if you've studied with two other women, or if you've studied with two other men for a year, and that's an average, it could be shorter. Maybe if you're all a little bit more mature already, or it could be longer if we need some more time. But you don't want to be in the same discipleship group forever. And that's really hard because a lot of us are in the same churches forever. A lot of us are in the same Bible classes forever. It might start as a singles class, but everyone gets married and you stay together. You don't want to split up. So now you're the young marrieds class. And then you all start to have children, but you just kind of stay together. And so we're in the same Bible class all the time. A small group could be together for a long, long time. You know, close community. We need to stay together. If it's a huge small group, we may want to consider planting another small group and gain more people, right? We don't want to just keep the goodness to ourselves. Get it out. And that's a mind change for all of us, right? For Churches of Christ, where we're safe, we're comfortable, we're working on each other just within here. Why would you go plant somewhere else? Or why would you plant another church close to another church? Just because we need more. We need more. We need more. We need to multiply. We need it to be reproducible. So this is reproducible. So after a year, you split up. After a year, you split up. And you say, hey, we're still going to get together. We're going to have reunions every other month. We'll go eat. We'll have a good time. We'll see how life is. So we're going to have reunions. We're not breaking up. We're not losing friendships. But you stop meeting every week and intentionally challenge those two women or those two men to do it again. And so now I'll go back to Jesus Christ at the beginning of his ministry, gathers a few men and says, I'm going to make you fishers of people. And so he does that. He invests 3 years in 12 men, and three of those years even closer with three of those disciples, of the apostles. And then when Jesus is done, so he goes for 3 years with those men. So there could be a group where you're together for 3 years, but then it probably needs to stop. After 3 years, you probably need to break it off. And Jesus says, I've taught you everything. I've taught you everything you need to know. And what I've just been doing with you, I want you to go do the same. And they did. And that's why all those cool stats about the first century church were there, because the men went out and taught and made disciples just like Jesus told them to do. So they listened to that Great Commission, and we want to listen to it too. Do you have any questions about relational discipleship or discovery Bible study, this tool? So it's relational discipleship, and there are more ways than this tool that we've chosen, but this is a great tool. So relational discipleship or discovery Bible study. Do you have any questions? So the question was, are those bookmarks the whole study or is there more? They're just sections and they're starting points. Yeah. So this one I'm holding, it's a great one to start if people just don't really know what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ. So if you've gone out and you've brought in a non-churched person. And so you might start with discovering discipleship. And this has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think 8 and 8. So you have 16 weeks. So what, 4 months-ish? So you have a while with that series. And then you can start another one. So, yeah, just one bookmark is not going to take you through an entire year of being in a discipleship group. But yeah, so they're starting points, and then we have quite a few bookmarks, and then, like I said, we have a whole bunch of ideas for you, and you can put together ideas. You could also go through a book that you think might be convicting. So I've gone through Ephesians with a discipleship group, and that gets you. I've gone through Colossians with a discipleship group, and that'll get you. So you can do that too. You just have to go slow. As you go through a book, you don't want to read an entire chapter and try and do a DBS on an entire chapter. Does that answer your question, DJ? JD? I always get it backwards. I'll just call you Jonathan, then I won't get it backwards. Do you have any other questions? There's not a bad question. About relational discipleship, what that is, or a discipleship group, why we're doing it, DBS. Let me talk very quickly, since this is the worship ministry group. We have unique opportunities within worship ministry. We have specific groups that we hang around or that might flock to us as being a part of the musical world, or we're a part of a singing class, or we have praise team. Or you know song leaders, or you know good musicians. So within worship ministry, we have a great specific opportunity to disciple those people. So that's a great starting point. We've made plans and goals at North Boulevard, and some of our praise team has done this. But not everyone. And so we're going to start, and I'm going to have a woman kind of in charge of knowing where the rest of the women are and maybe getting them into discipling relationships. And I'm going to have a man get the men into discipling relationships. And they may lead one themselves. And then I can lead one too, but I'm not going to do a great job leading a women's discipleship group. And so I need a woman to do that for me. But within our worship ministry, there's so much opportunity to make disciples. But relational discipleship still has to be so intentional, small group, really small groups. But we can do that. So if you're a song leader and you have close relationships with other song leaders, you should start a discipleship group. If you see potential in a young person who might be able to lead worship one day, you should disciple them. So there are just specific opportunities that present themselves to us within worship ministry, within song leading, within a singing class. You're just going to get to know people that may not be plugged in somewhere else. So we got to grab all the people we can and mature them in their relationship with Jesus Christ. All right. Are there any other questions? Everyone has this book, right? So you've registered. If you haven't, go get this. And it has that great spread on DBS, and it has those bookmarks. I also have extras up here. So you could come and take three of each and be ready for a group. So you could come take some bookmarks and be ready. Also, I have these for you to grab if you want one. I have three of these that have a whole bunch of different topics where you can study with people. And if we run out, email me and I will get one to you. So make sure you have this. Also, this is just general. David's books are here. So David Young wrote a book, and the copies were not here first thing yesterday when maybe some of you were registered, but now they're there, so you can go get your book and have this and your meal tickets. Okay, let's go through this. Let's go through this together. I'll kind of lead us through and facilitate, but I'd love for us to get in little groups. And we could do just men and just women, I think. So is it okay if I just assign you? Is that okay? So let's do one, two, three. So those three men, and let's do these two men. And then let's do one, two, three, and then Mom and Marilyn. So if you guys kind of get close with those groups, you don't have to be real close. You don't have to hug. All right, and I think I've described so much, Paul. I've done such a good job using a mic. And so now I'm going to take the mic off, because I've described everything, and now we're just going to run through DBS. Thank you and good night.